Oh, so. She's on. Okay. Okay, I think we can start. We start with first today's date is February 24th, 2014. And we'll start one time with homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Okay, does everybody understand the cases very well? Or would you like some additional explanation of the cases? If you would like, let me know. Raise your hand if you want some explanation of the cases. Okay, so Carolyn, Ray.
Then you have to memorize it. That's why.
Of course you have to memorize. But do you understand how the cases are functioning? Or you would like some explanation? Okay. Let us look at the chart for the cases. You can look on page 6. Well, let's take on page 5. We'll take the masculine noun ending in the short A. Of course, these are different for each case. Okay, the nominative case usually means or usually signifies the subject of a sentence. You know what the subject is? Let us say we have a sentence. Make it very simple. John hits Fred. Okay, so the subject, here we have an action with the subject, action, object, right? So the subject, what is the subject in the sentence?
John.
John, right. So in Pali, John would be in the nominative case. Okay, so the nominative case, usually the subject. Okay, in this sentence, there's an action, there's an object. What is the object?
Friend.
So, one boy hits another boy. Mm-hmm. So the object is the one, mm-hmm. You could say the subject, I think, in Chinese would be zuode, mm-hmm. The one who acts. Yes. And the object may be shoude. Shoudaren?
Shouge. Yeah, shouge.
Okay, so the one who receives the action. So in Pali, which case do we use for the object? What case?
Accusative.
The accusative. So the accusative usually signifies the object. Each case usually has several uses, and later you can learn the various uses, but at the beginning, it's important just to understand the primary use. So this nominative case is the subject, the accusative case is the object. Okay, now let us take another case. Okay, we'll take John with his fist. Hits Fred. Now we would speak about the fist as being the means by which, or the instrument by which, one object or one person performs an action. Okay, so what case would with his fist be if we were in speaking in Pali? What case would we use?
Instrumental.
Instrumental is based on the word instrument. So usually the instrumental case can signify the instrument by which something is done. You could also say John traveled by train. Okay, in this case, the means by which John traveled is train. And so train is the, by train is the instrumental. Okay, another use, a major use for the instrumental is when one does something together with somebody. So let us get more and more violent. John, together with his friends, so now it's becoming plural, I think. John, together with his friends, hits Fred with their fists. So in Pali, when you want to say somebody doing something together with somebody else, then we use the instrumental. And usually when we use the instrumental in this way, it goes together with another word, sadding, or sometimes saha. So we might say Buddha, this is a more peaceful sentence. Buddha bhikkhu sanghena sadding Chari Kang Achari. So the Buddha, together with the company of monks, the order of monks, went walking on a tour. So understand this? Okay, let us say, okay, now let us go from instrumental to dative case. Okay, the dative case usually, or at least one of its important uses, is to show purpose. So this is called the dative of purpose. So this is the reason why one does something. So let us say the Buddha walked on tour to teach the Dhamma, or using the dative, for teaching the Dhamma. So then we might say Buddha Dhamma days, and I Chari Kung Chari. So this is Dhammadesa Naya. This is a feminine dative ending. So this is the nominative, Buddha, the subject. Then the verb is he walked. In English we say on tour, but in Pali it's as if he walked a tour. Then this is the dative showing the purpose for teaching the Dhamma. And also, the dative is used in the sense of showing the direction in which something leads. For example, let us say, I am Mago Nibbanaya Sangvatati. So ayang means this, mago means path. So here we have this path, and this is these two together. What case? Nominative. Okay, here sangvatati is the verb, which means leads to, conduces to. And then we have here the dative, which is the direction of the movement. So this path leads to Nibbana. Think it on. So dative in this sense, okay, if we use Chinese, we could say this is maybe the Dao.
Dao.
Wo Yao.
Dao.
Wo Yao Dao. Zheguo Zhi Lu Xing, right? I will go to Germany for vacation. So Dao, Zheguo. The Dao is like indicating dative. And also dative used in the sense of purpose. How do we say that in Chinese? I can't think in two different languages. Okay, so this is dative. We have so far nominative, accusative, dative, instrumental, ablative. Ablative is somewhat like the Chinese, I think. How do you pronounce this?
Zhong.
Zhong, right. Zhong is from. Mm-hmm. So usually the dative indicates the place from which motion, movement is starting. And so we say, the man went from the village to the temple. So here we say, Puriso. From the village, there are various, there are different ways to make ablative. You could say gama, or you could say gamasma. or Gamamha. So the man is going from the village to the temple. So Gama, Gamasma, Gamamha, Viharam, Gacchati. And this is, I have to make an important point. The verb to go in Pali already includes the idea of to in it. Mm-hmm. So when you, the object of the verb Gacchati, to go, is in the accusative, not the dative. So I go, or the man goes to the temple. It's not puriso viharaya gacchati, but it's puriso viharang gacchati. It's like in Chinese, you can say wacha samyao. You don't have to say wa dao samyao, right? So, gacchati, the verb meaning to go, really, we would say, it means to go to. And the destination of gacchati is the accusative. Okay, so ablative, the basic meaning is the place from or the situation from which something starts. But there's another use of both the instrumental and the ablative, very important in the Buddhist texts. And that is both the instrumental and the ablative also used to show the cause from which something originates. So we have deep and dependent origination. We say, avijja paccaya sankhara. There's actually an implied verb here, which doesn't come in the formula, but just to make it simple, we'll put the verb in. Okay, here, paccaya is the ablative case. So it means avijja means ignorance. Paccaya is condition. In Chinese, this is yuan. Yuan. And then sankhara are volitional activities. So this is xing. And then honti means exist or occur. And so we would say, because, let's say, from the condition ignorance, volitional activities occur. So this is the way ablative is used to show a cause. And also the instrumental, we'll see, can be used to show a cause.
So paccha, which I was quickly looking at the table for like masculine and feminine. Where does that ending come from?
It's either masculine or neuter. Let's see. Pachayo, so it's a masculine. Okay, so this is ablative. The use is to show the place of origin, or else the cause from which something originates. Okay, next we take genitive. Usually a genitive is fairly simple. Genitive means possession. So like when I say in English, this is my bag, so my, the word my is a genitive. Or if I say this is Venerable Subodha's book, you see we don't say just Subodha, but we say Subodha's. That indicates a genitive. Or else we could say this is the book of Venerable Subodha. So the of indicates possession. Okay, so this is the main use of the genitive. This is like in Chinese. My writing is not so good. You know what it is.
Yeah.
don't follow my writing. When you get old, it's very difficult to remember how to write. So if when you're young and learning Chinese, learn it well. There's another use of the genitive which we find very common in these older literature of the suttas. That is, when something happens to somebody, a form is used, they call it the dative genitive. It's really hard to distinguish what's dative and what's genitive in that usage. I'll point out examples when we come across that. But don't worry about that for now. Okay, then the locative indicates the primary use is to indicate location. That's why it's called locative. So the book is on the table. How to say table in Pali? I don't have the table. Let's say the seat is on the ground. Okay, patavyang is based on the noun patavi, means earth or ground. And so patavyang, on the ground. This is something like in Chinese you use the zai. Kuban, zai, zuozishan, right? So that zai, on, is like the locative. Laosha zai fangzali. The teacher is in the room. So the sense of being in, on, at, someplace. That's the basic sense of the locative. So are the cases clear now? Okay, just to run through them very quickly. Basic meanings. Nominative, the subject of the action. Accusative, object of the action. Instrumental, either the means by which something is done or to indicate accompaniment, going along with somebody, doing something together with somebody, or being connected with something. Dative can be either the destination of movement or the purpose for doing something. Ablative can be the place of origin or the originating state Or it can be used to indicate the cause or condition through which something occurs. The genitive primarily indicates possession, and then it also is used to indicate sort of the passive subject of an action, when an action happens to somebody. And then the locative indicates location, the place in which something exists, or the place in which something occurs, or the also the time at which something occurs. Any questions on the cases?
Just a quick question. When we use these Pali terms sometimes in English, like Buddha or Moha,
yeah,
what case is that?
That is what's called the stem form or the base form.
Oh.
Yeah, that is without, that is the form that the word takes before it undergoes case declension.
Okay, thank you.
One take?
Yeah.
About genitive, can you give me an example of passive action?
I think when we come, it doesn't occur immediately to my mind. Let me just see. Okay, let me just try to make one up. Okay, maybe when the Buddha is speaking about his experience of enlightenment, he would say, "Tassa maihang padahato abhi samayo hoti." So tasa maihang means to me, and then padahato is striving. That's the dative genitive present participle. So to me, striving, or in English, we might say, as I was striving, abhi samayo ahosi. Abhi samayo is like the realization, you know, the realization of truth. And ahosi occurred. So, to me, as I was striving, the realization occurred. Yeah, that's actually something, a peculiar bit of the very ancient style of Pali. Usually when somebody speaks about themselves in the first person, they don't use simply just the first person form, but they also use the third person form. So, like when the Buddha's speaking about himself, he'll say, so hung, so ahung, that I... And then tassa maihang, to that me. Okay, any questions about the cases from the internet?
Yeah, Pandit, could you repeat the ablative, Pandit?
The ablative. The ablative shows the place or condition from which something originates, from which something starts, and also it shows, it's used to indicate the cause or condition through which something occurs.
Thank you.
Okay, let us go back now. We had, I think, I hadn't quite finished going through the basic readings of Lesson 2. That is on page 15. I think I have three more sentences to, three more passages to go through. So first, we'll read together. It's the one about the Arya Aryena Panya Chakuna. Okay. Eva Meva Ko Bhikave. Upaka Te Satta.
Upaka Te Satta.
Ye.
Ye.
Aryena Panya Chakuna.
Aryena Panya Chakuna.
Samanagata.
Samanagata.
Uttako.
Uttako.
Eteva Satta.
Eteva Satta.
Bahutara.
Bahutara.
Ye Avijagata.
Ye Avijagata.
Samulha.
Samulha.
Okay, so Eva Meva. So Eva Meva means in the same way. So the Buddha gave a simile first, which is not stated here. So Eva Meva means in the same way, Bhikkhave, O monks. Then Upaka means few. And then Te Satta is those beings. And Te is, we call this the demonstrative pronoun. Two kinds of pronoun connected. Demonstrative is like te, and relative is like ye. So I'll write. Demonstrative is like pointing those or these. It's like based on the word demonstrate. So I say, which ones? Those. Which ones? These. And the relative is like those which. In other words, let's say relative is bhutwei ting. And the demonstrative is Tui Ting. So the relative, usually we have forms like Yo, Ye, Young, Ya. So the demonstrative So, Te, Tongue, and so on. So, in an English sentence, we might say, the book which is on the table. Okay, this is the relative clause, using a relative pronoun. The book which is on the table, that is my book. That makes it demonstrative. You understand the difference? Oh, thank you so much. And in English, the two get mixed up a lot, but in Pali, it's very precise in the use of the distinction between the relative and the demonstrative. And usually, the normal order, the relative comes first and the demonstrative comes after. But in this sentence, the demonstrative comes first and the relative comes after. There's a Buddha scholar, a Pali scholar, his name is Stephen Collins. I think he teaches at the University of Chicago. He started to write a Pali textbook. He was teaching Pali, I guess, for many years in England. He's an Englishman. Then he realized that to teach Pali grammar, in writing his textbook, he had to have the first section an explanation of English grammar. Because nobody, it seems his students, even though they would have been Americans and Englishmen, didn't understand the terms of English grammar. So if you are Chinese or Korean or Sri Lankan or Cambodian,
we're all on the same boat.
I think I learned English grammar by studying Pali and Sanskrit.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does relative mean in this context?
Wait, I had to turn up the volume on the speaker. Say again.
What does relative mean in this context of relative pronoun?
I think relative means... I think it means relative to the demonstrative pronoun. Or maybe we should say that the clause that has the relative pronoun can't stand by itself. It needs a demonstrative pronoun, or it needs a demonstrative clause. But a demonstrative clause can stand by itself. It doesn't need a relative clause. For example, if I point to the book on the table and I say, "That is my book," that's a demonstrative clause, and we don't need a relative clause. But if I make a sentence, the book which is on the table, you see, it can't stand by itself. It has to be completed by something else. I could say, the book which is on the table is my book. Or I could say, the book which is on the table is a Pali grammar. But it's not complete by itself. The relative clause.
So it's like a dependent clause.
It's dependent, yeah. So looking at this sentence,
thank you.
Looking at this sentence, so in the same way, few are those beings. So that is the demonstrative clause. Then we have the relative clause. Ye ariyena panya chakuna samanagata. So ye means who. Then ariyena panya chakuna, what case is this?
Instrumental.
Right, it's the instrumental case. And the meaning, anybody know the meaning? Right, but it's instrumental, so it's with the noble eye of wisdom, and then it's going with this, it's an adjective, originally a past participle that becomes an adjective, samanagata, very, very common in the suttas, which means possessed of or endowed with. So in this case, who are endowed with the noble eye of wisdom, or endowed with the noble eye of wisdom, or with the noble wisdom eye. So if we put it in normal word order, we would say Evameva ye ariyena panya chakuna samanagata satta. So those beings who are endowed with the noble wisdom eye, you see, it's by itself, it's not complete. Then you have to complete it by saying upaka te satta. Those beings are few. Few are those beings. But here, because the order is inverted, so we would say, few are those beings who are endowed with the noble wisdom eye. And then we have attako, which here means something like, but rather, instead. Eteva satta bahutara. Ete means these, and it's a little bit that va makes it emphatic. So these beings, then we have bahutara. Bahutara means more. The word bahu means many, and bahutara makes it comparative, more. So these beings are more. Ye avijagata samulha. So ye is the relative pronoun who. Then avija means ignorance. And gata means literally gone to. So avijja gata is literally gone to ignorance. But we would say, to make it simple, we would say who are ignorant. Or if you want to be a little poetic, you could say who are immersed in ignorance. And then samulha is based on the word moha. Moha means delusion. And so mulha is actually the past participle with the prefix sang, which makes it a little stronger. So we could say who are confused or deluded. And so when we put it together, we would say, taking the whole sentence, so there's been a simile, which we don't have here, and then this, it continues. In the same way, O monks, few are those beings who are endowed with the noble wisdom eye. But rather, these beings are more, who are gone to ignorance and are deluded. Any questions on this sentence? Your one team, Mayo? Ting de dong. Hung Li Fashman, Ting de dong. Dien dien. Yao. Dien si ying one. Dien si. Rugwa Yingwan, then say Yingwan, need a Pali one, Bi Chao Hao. Okay.
But
yeah.
This LH, Samulha, is it LH? Is that a single L or is it Uha?
Yeah, okay, good question. This is actually one letter. It's an aspirated, we call it an aspirated retroflex L. L. I'm not even sure if they had that in the list of letters. Oh, they do have it, yeah. They do have it under other. That's in the forward or the introduction page, Roman numbers 14. It's very rare, but occasionally we find it. Okay, let us take then the next sentence. So I'll read first and you follow me. Ava meva ko bikave.
Ava meva ko bikave.
Upakate sata.
Upakate sata.
Ye labanti.
Ye labanti.
Tathagatang dasanaya.
Tathagatang dasanaya.
Attako.
Attako.
Eteva sata.
Eteva sata.
Bahutara.
Bahutara.
Yena labanti.
Yena labanti.
Tathagatang dasanaya. Okay, so the first part is just the same as in the previous sentence. In the same way, O monks, few are those beings. And now we have something, a phrase, which it's a bit weird to English, to ears listened, accustomed to English. Ye labante tathagatang dasanaya. So ye means who. Labante is gain or get. Then dasanaya is based on the noun dasana, which means seeing. And what case is this? It's the dative. So force, literally it would be foreseeing. And then the object of the seeing is tathagatang. So if we translate it literally, it would be, you are those beings who get foreseeing the Tathagata, the Buddha. But the way we have to sort of reformulate this in English is, the way I would do it is using the infinitive in English, who get to see the Tathagata. But in constructions like this in Pali, it would use the dative case. Like if somebody comes to the monastery and then the monks will ask him, why have you come here? He would say, if he was speaking English, he would say, I have come to see the Blessed One. But if he's speaking in Pali, he would say, Ahang Bhagavantang Dasanaya Agatomhi. I have come for seeing the Blessed One. So it's indicating I think it's based on the dative in the sense of purpose. So I have come for the purpose of seeing the Blessed One. And so here in this sentence, the sense maybe is, who get to fulfill the purpose of seeing the Tathagata. Okay, then the second part just follows as a matter of course. So, attako is something like, but rather, eteva satta bahutara, these beings are more numerous, ye na labante tathagatang dasanaya, who do not get foreseeing the Tathagata, or in normal English, who do not get to see the Tathagata. Any questions on this? And one thing I have to say, don't get discouraged if some of the sentence structures sound strange, indecipherable, unfamiliar. It really just takes, as I've said in several emails, it takes time, patience, persistence to rewire the neural patterns of the brain so that you'll get familiar with the language and then it becomes quite natural. Like, I don't want to hold myself up as an example of learning Chinese, but like the first year that I studied spoken Chinese, I couldn't make head or tail out of it. It was just like being dropped off in like the midst of Shanghai without a map, without a guide. But after a while, you know, the brain gets reconditioned. Okay, let us then, any questions on this? Okay, so let's take the last passage. Again, I'll recite by phrases and you repeat. Eva meva ko bhikkhave.
Eva meva ko bhikkhave.
Upaka te sata.
Upaka te sata.
Ye labante.
Ye labante.
Tathagata pavaditam.
Dhamma
vinayam.
Dhamma vinayam.
Savinaya.
Savinaya.
Uttako.
Uttako.
Etevasatta.
Etevasatta.
Bahutara.
Bahutara.
Yena labhanti.
Yena labhanti.
Tathagata pavaditam.
Dhamma
vinayam.
Dhamma vinayam.
Savinaya.
Savinaya.
Okay, the first part. In the same way, O monks, few are those beings, okay, then, who get, now we have to jump down to savinaya, literally for hearing, but the sense is to hear. In English we would say to hear. And then to hear what? The object of hearing is Dhamma Vinayang, which means the Dhamma is the teaching or the doctrine, and the Vinaya here is the discipline or the training. And then it's described as Tathagata Pavaditam. Pavedita means made known, or we would say declared or expounded by the Tathagata, by the Buddha. And so the sense is, few are those beings who get for hearing, or in normal English, who get to hear the teaching and discipline expounded or made known by the Tathagata. And then the counterpart, Uttako, but rather Eteva Satta Bahutara. These beings are more numerous. Yena Labhanti, who do not get Tathagata Bhavaditam Dhamma Vinayam Savinaya, who do not get for hearing the teaching and discipline proclaimed by the Tathagata, or who do not get to hear the teaching and discipline proclaimed by the Tathagata. So the structure of the sentence is actually just the same as the previous one. The only difference is, in the case of the Buddha, one sees the Buddha. So one aims at Tathagatam Dasanaya, the seeing of the Tathagata. And then in this sentence, the objective, the aim or the purpose is Savanaya, hearing, to hear. And you don't hear the Tathagata, but what one hears is the Dhamma and discipline proclaimed by the Tathagata. And the word Pavaditam, which we translate proclaimed or expounded, can anybody see what the root of that word might be? The pra is, or the pa, or the Sanskrit pra is a prefix. The root would be the part within the word, which signifies the verb from which. Well, maybe you're not familiar enough with what is the root, what's meant by the root. But the root is Vij, V-I-J. And so from Vij, we can get Vijati, which is something like to be known. It's a passive form. And as a noun, we get from Vij, Vija, which is like the higher knowledge, higher wisdom. And then the lack of higher wisdom is avijja, which is ignorance. But then from vij, we have a causative form, vedeti, is to make known, to cause to know. But I'm not so sure how often we get vedeti. Usually it has the prefix pa, to make known.
There's a word like vadati, which says also.
Vadati is it from a different root.
Oh.
Yeah, vadati is to speak. Yeah. And the causative of vadati is vadeti, which is to cause to speak, which then takes on the meaning of to teach, because the way, the traditional way of teaching in ancient India was for the teacher to recite something or to speak a sentence, and he tells his pupils, you speak. So then they have to recite after the teacher. Okay, I think we should go now to the further reading. Okay, let us, this is on page 26. Let us take these, you know, by, in the way of I will speak first and then you recite after me. Okay. Tini mani bhikkhave.
Tini mani bhikkhave.
Nidanani.
Nibbanami.
Kamanang Samudayaya.
Kamanang Samudayaya.
Yeah, I think we'll do it sentence by sentence. Anybody? This was supposed to be, you know, the homework assignment. So I understand if it's difficult at the beginning, but would anybody like to try to explain it? You want to try? Okay. You first do, you know, don't just give a translation, but do a word for word translation.
Teeny mani bikave nidani. It's a teeny imani. There are nidani. There are three causes, monks. Kamanam samudayaya. For the origination of kama.
Okay, let me give you an example of the way that I would like it to be done. Okay, teeny is three. It's, of course, three is necessarily plural. It's neuter. It's the neuter form for three, nominative. Imani is the pronoun, neuter plural pronoun, nominative. Bhikkhave is vocative, addressing the monks. Nidanani means causes, and it's neuter, neuter plural, nominative, neuter plural. Kamanang is genitive plural. Samudayaya is dative, and kamanang is means karmas, actions. And then samudayaya is dative singular, masculine. I think it's masculine or neuter.
Masculine.
Samudayo, right. Masculine, singular, dative. Meaning for origination, for arising. Okay, so that's an analysis, word for word explanation. Then putting it into, you know, a normal English sentence, I would say there are. Now there's no word meaning there are in the Pali, but to make it a normal English sentence, we have to add that. In Pali, not so necessary. So there are, O monks. Now notice, in fact, I think I'm going to have to explain, because I see that at least 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5, maybe not native English speakers, and even those, I mean, Suki and see you or you're completely fluent in English. Maybe as we go along, once you get more familiar with my method and with the language, then you could do the further reading. Okay, now in English we would say there are these three. So we would add the words there are, and then we would always have in English these before three. But in Pali, I think this is just for elegance of style, the number comes before these. Even in the normal, like, prose Pali, the word these would come before the number. But this is a little bit like elegant speech. So it's inverted. So here, teeny mani is these three. So there are these three causes, O monks, for the origination, that's samudayaya, of karmas, of willed actions. Okay, then we have the way the Buddha structures a discourse. He'll make a broad statement, then if it's referring to a number, he'll raise the question, what is that number? Then he'll fill out the answer. So then he raises the question, kattamani tini. So the word kattama means what? But notice that the word kattama is going along with nidanani. And nidanani is neuter plural. And so the word kattama, the stem form, becomes neuter plural, kattamani. And that goes with here, tini, three. What three? Okay, and then he'll give the answer, first the short answer. Okay, now I'll recite and then you recite after me. Lobo nidhanam.
Lobo nidhanam.
Kamanam samudayaya.
Kamanam samudayaya.
Doso nidhanam.
Doso nidhanam.
Kamanam samudayaya.
Kamanam samudayaya.
Moho nidhanam.
Moho nidhanam.
Kamanam samudayaya.
Kamanam samudayaya.
Okay, so taking it word word for word. Okay, loba means greed. In what case is this?
Nominative.
And nominative, how many? Singular, right. So this is nominative singular. So this is the subject. So greed, and it's an equational sentence, so you don't have to have a word meaning is. You just go, the word hoti is implied. So greed, then we understand, is nidanam cause. Kamanam, again, genitive plural, of willed actions. Samudayaya, this is dative singular, for the origination. So greed is a cause for the origination of willed actions. Then doso, this is hatred. Again, it's nominative singular. Hatred is a cause for the origination of willed actions. And moha is delusion. Delusion is a cause for the origination of willed actions, or karma. Any questions on this sentence? Yeah.
It's probably related to the idea one too. So why is kamana plural and samudaya in singular?
Well, there are many different types of kamas. Or the kamas, I guess here the kamas are being considered as individual willed actions. But the origination is a singular. You know, it's just the general idea of origination, but it's an origination of different deeds.
So why didn't we say karma sir?
Because the deeds are different in plural. There's a plurality of deeds that originate from greed, plurality of greeds originating from each of the others.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
So, yeah, I have on my question. So, greed, hatred, and delusion are mental states, aren't they?
Yeah, they're mental states.
Thank you.
That was the question? That was your question?
Yes, Bhante.
Okay. Okay, let us continue. Yang bhikkhave, loba pakkatang kamang, loba jang loba nidanang, loba samudayang. Did I hear samudayaya? No. Loba samudayang. Okay. Okay. Tang kamang akusalang. Tang kamang savajang. Tang kamang dukkha vipakang. Tang kamang kama samudayaya. Sang vatati natang kamang kama nirodaya sang vatati. Okay, now we stop. This passage shows a good example of the relationship of the relative clause and the demonstrative clause. And here it has the normal order, relative clause first. So we have yang, which means which or what. And that goes with, that is a pronoun, and it goes with kamang. So we would say, The karma which, and then that karma is described by a number of adjectives. First, one adjective comes in front of the noun, that's loba pakkatang, and then the other adjectives come after the noun. This is a stylistic feature of the sutras. If a noun is being described by a series of adjectives, very often the first adjective comes before the noun and then the other adjectives come after the noun. Okay, and so the series, first I'll explain the series of adjectives, then we'll see how they fit in to the sentence. So loba pakkatang, we could say, is done out of greed. Let's say performed from greed. Or if we want to keep the same kind of form as the Pali, we would say greed performed karma. Loba jung, again we have greed, and then we have this suffix ja, which is related to the noun jati, which means birth. So loba jung would be born from greed, or greed born. Then we have loba nidanang, and the word nidana means a cause. So this is caused by greed. Or you could say greed cause. And then we have loba samudayang. That means, samudaya we know means originating. So this is originating from greed, or greed originated. So putting it all together, the relative clause, we would say, I'll put O monks first, since we get them out of the way. O monks, that which is a greed-performed karma, greed-born, greed-caused, greed-originated. And you see, it's an incomplete or dependent clause, because we say that which is, and now we have to fill out what that is. And so that is what comes with the demonstrative clause. Tung kamang akusalang. That karma is unwholesome. Then tung kamang savajang. Savajang means blameworthy, faulty. Let's see what they use. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, blamable, blameworthy, faulty. Okay, so that karma is faulty. Tung kamang dukkha vipakang. Okay, now we know the word dukkha, ku, and vipaka is result, bow, maybe. Right? Or bow. Excuse me? Or bow. So this is ku or bow. Ku de guo bao. Okay, so that karma has painful results, or it results in suffering. And then we have a longer statement. Tang kamang kama samudayaya sangvatati. That karma leads to, and then we have kama samudayaya. And what case is this? Kama samudayaya.
Thank you.
Ming Jia Fasha, what case? Genitive? Dative. It's direction of movement. It leads to the origination of karma. That karma leads to the origination of karma.
In the Bible, it says, karma implies further or subsequent action, so is it the continuation of volitional action?
Yeah. So that if you do an action, karma, that's originating from greed, then that will motivate more action originating from greed. So somebody gets, you know, $1,000, they're not satisfied, they need $5,000. Then they get $5,000, they have to act in order to get $10,000. Then they have $2 billion, they're not satisfied, they need $4 billion.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is the karma the mean the past? Is the karma already past?
No, this is the karma one is doing now.
Now?
Yeah. Okay, so that karma leads to the origination of more karma. Nutang kamang kama nirodaya sangvatati. So the na means not, it's not the case that that karma leads to the, then niroda is cessation, and this is again data. It is not the case that that karma leads to the cessation of karma, or that karma does not lead to the cessation of karma. So taking the whole sentence, okay, that which, oh monks, that which is a greed-performed karma, greed-born, greed-caused, greed-originated, that karma is unwholesome. That karma is blamable or faulty. That karma has the result of suffering, or that karma results in suffering. That karma leads to the origination of karma, of more karma. That karma does not lead to the cessation of karma. Okay, then the next paragraph is exactly the same in structure. The only thing that is different is instead of lobha, we have dosa, hatred. And then the third paragraph, again, is exactly the same, except instead of lobha, we have moha, delusion. So this is exactly the same statement. Excuse me. Exactly the same statements are made about karma originating from greed, from hatred, from delusion. There's still more drink.
No more?
No, I have more drink.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we don't have to go through word for these. You could just, you know, fill them in and just substitute the main word. And then we come to sort of wrapping up the first part of the sutta. Okay, I'll again recite this. You follow. Imani ko bhikkhave.
Imani ko bhikkhave.
Tini nidhanani.
Tini nidhanani.
Kamanang samudayaya. Okay, so we'll put the monks first. O monks, then now this is the normal word order. These are the three causes for the origination of actions, of deeds. Okay, so that is the unwholesome side. Now we're coming to the wholesome side. So again, we'll recite. Tini mani bhikkhave. Nidhanani kammanam samudayaya.
Nidhanani kammanam samudayaya.
So again, it's the opening statement is the same. O monks, there are these three causes for the origination of willed actions, of different karmas. Katamani tini? Alobo nidanang kammanang samudayaya.
Alobo nidanang
kammanang samudayaya. Adoso nidanang kammanang samudayaya.
Adoso nidanang kammanang samudayaya.
Amoho nidanang kammanang samudayaya.
Amoho nidanang kammanang samudayaya.
Okay, so here, again, it's just the converse, just the opposite of the previous passage. So non-greed is a cause for the origination of actions. Non-hatred is a cause for the origination of actions. Non-delusion is a cause for the origination of actions. And Yang Bhikkhave Aloba Pakatang Kamma.
Yang Bhikkhave Aloba Pakatang Kamma.
Aloba Jang Aloba Nidanang.
Aloba Jang Aloba Nidanang.
Aloba Samudayang.
Aloba Samudayang.
Tang Kamang Kusalang.
Tang Kamang
Kusalang. Tang Kamang Anavajang.
Tang Kamang Anavajang.
Tang Kamang Sukavipakang.
Tang Kamang Sukavipakang.
Tang Kamang Kamanirodhaya.
Tang Kamang
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Na Tang Kamang Kamasamudayaya Sangvatati. Okay, so here we have, O monks, that which is a non-greed performed karma, in other words, an action performed from non-greed, born of non-greed, caused by non-greed, originating from non-greed, that action is wholesome. That action is blameless. That action has sukha-vipaka. So that action has a pleasant result, or that action results in happiness. Then that action leads to the cessation of action. And kama nirodhaya, what case? Jishu fasha? Case? Hung li fasha? The case? Right, it's the dative case. Why is it the dative?
Two. Shows the purpose for cessation.
Yeah.
Who said for the purpose? Okay, shows the purpose or the direction. So that karma leads to the cessation of karma. Nuttang kamang kamasamudayaya singvatati. That karma does not lead to the origination of karma. Actually, according to the tradition, this is not just any karma born of non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion, but this is a special kind of karma involved in practicing the Eightfold Path or the Seven Enlightenment Practice. Okay, then the next two paragraphs have the same structure, except the only difference is that we substitute for aloba, we substitute a dosa, non-hatred, and a moha, non-delusion. Any questions on this? From the internet? Yeah. Please. Yeah.
If we, I guess it's the same. The yang is that which, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's, is it a neuter, nominative?
It's neuter nominative because it's going with kamang. It's
right, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And the Loba Patatang Loba Jung, if we go back, go Loba Jung, Loba Nidanam, those are all, so the accusative Loba Patatang is accusative singular.
No, they're not accusative. No, they're all nominative, because they're all describing kama, and kama is the nominative subject here.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no accusative in this sentence, because there's no action going from a subject to an object. It's just stating something about the karma. So everything here is nominative, except the sangha, the data forms.
Okay.
Yeah, so kamang is the neuter nominative subject. Then all of those other words, adosa pakatang, adosa jang, adosa nidana, those are just adjectives describing kamang.
Okay, thank you.
So it's what case of lopa jang, lopa danang?
They're all nominative. Yeah, all nominative, because they're all just descriptive terms for the kamang.
So, Bhante, I have another question about Loba Nidana.
Yeah.
How is that broken? I thought that maybe it was a plural, but I guess it's a singular because it's Nidan. Oh, I think I get it now. Sorry.
Yeah, you might have, because of the ending Anang, you might have thought that it's genitive plural. It's not.
Right, but it's singular.
No, there's a word, nidanang, which means cause. In fact, we have it, lobo nidanang. So nidanang is just an independent word which means cause. Then when nidana becomes attached to another noun, then it means caused by that other noun.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I think we're going to stop here, and then next week we'll take the other passage.
Could I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So, loba samu nida yang. So, if it's nominative, should it be loba samu da yo?
Oh, this is an interesting question. So, please listen to this. Now, samudaya, when it stands by itself as a nominative, it becomes samudayo, or samudayo. But now, okay, what was it? Loba samudayang. So the word samudaya is being joined to loba to make, when it's joined like this, it's functioning like an adjective describing kamang. And now kamang is a neuter. And so loba samudayang, because it's functioning like an adjective describing kama, it becomes a neuter also. Technically, there's a name for this. I didn't want to confuse you with too much grammar. This is called a bahu-bihi compound. A bahu-bihi compound. Okay, a bahu-bihi compound See, the word bahu bihi comes from bahu, which means much. And bihi represents bihi, which means rice. And so this is, the idea is that it's describing a field, so we call it bahu bihi bihi ketang. And so I'll explain, the bahu bihi compound is a compound of two words which is used either explicitly or implicitly to describe another noun. And so in that case, the compound is no longer functioning as a noun in itself, but it's functioning as an adjective in relation to the other noun. But instead of using an ancient example like the much rice field, my example is contemporary, the laptop computer. Okay, what is a laptop? If you ask a kid under 25, we have anybody under 25 here? What's a laptop?
A portable computer.
No! A laptop is when you're sitting, you form a lap, and then the thighs and the hips form something called a lap. But back in the early days when they were just invented this, they found you could put this little computer on your lap when you're sitting in the airport and type. And so somebody came up with the idea, let's call it a laptop computer. And so now, when we use the word laptop, we say that, let me borrow your laptop, or how much can, in this computer shop, can you show me where you have your, keep the laptop computers? So if I say, can you show me your laptops? And the guy sits down in a chair and says, here's my laptop.
Yeah.
You think he doesn't understand what you're talking about. And so laptop has now become an adjective describing a computer. And so in Pali, in English we don't have declensions, but in Pali, if you, I'm sure that somebody has come up with the phrase laptop computer, then lap is uttara, kati, I think kati is. Anyway, when you put the two nouns together to form an adjective compound, they follow, and then they're describing some other object, some other noun, then they follow the declension of the other noun. So if the other noun is feminine, that will be described as a feminine. If it's a masculine, that compound becomes masculine. If the primary noun is neuter, then the compound becomes neuter. Is there an expression, something like cover girl makeup?
Yeah.
Cover girl lipstick?
Yes.
Okay, now you have the expression cover girl lipstick. So here, cover girl becomes an adjective describing a kind of lipstick. Okay, so let us end for this. Okay, and so next week I'll finish up this lesson, and then I'll explain the grammar of the next. So you don't have to do any. Well, you could review, but next week I'll have to. Oh, I'm just going to do bits of grammar, because to explain grammar through 2 hours, I would say it's a bit of a torture for me. And then I'll do some of the reading for number 3, lesson 3. Maybe I'll do the second reading passage in number 3 and take the first passage the following week. Okay, so we end with the 3 vows to the Buddha. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you.